So are you guys awake today? No, because everyone's kind of subdued and like, oh, I'm tired. I've been studying for exams. Oh, I said the bad word. Sorry. All right, how many of you still have exams left? There's not very many. So most of you guys are done? Yours is easy, though, you said, right? So you're good. You're done. You're done?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So we're done for the most part. A couple of you still got exam left. So let's party then, okay? Let's be like happy. And go like, yes, exams are done. Yeah, there we go. Okay, here we go. So if you missed 2 weeks ago, this is part two of a talk. So I'm going to catch you up to speed. And we asked the question a couple weeks ago, what is your identity? How do you discover your identity? Do people get to decide your identity, the people around you? Right? Because sometimes you accidentally fall into identity that you hate. Okay, you say something and then all of a sudden you're labeled as that guy that said that and you never live it down because you're like, oh, why did I say that? Or maybe by the way you dress, people just, oh, that's the girl that dresses like that, or that's the guy who dresses like this, or that's the guy that wears a funny toque, or, you know, whatever. See these labels? Ouch, that hurt. No. Who gets to decide who you are? Do your parents get to decide who you are? Do your friends get to decide who you are? Do you get to decide who you are? That's the question, right? Because here's the deal. Are you responsible for the gifts and the talents that was given to you? No. It was given to you, right? So how do you get to define yourself? Are you responsible for the person that you are today? Well, no. All these outside influences have made you and shaped you. Your parents, your friends, your family. They've shaped you into the person that you are. They've played a part. So who in the end gets to decide who you are? Well, I think God gets to decide who we are. And I think that's really important for us. And for those of us who follow Jesus, this is huge. Because what we're going to talk about today is that God gives us a new label. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about labels and how powerful they can be in our lives. And how sometimes we just become susceptible to how we feel about ourselves or how we view ourselves. And we just kind of, we get into this kind of internal shell. This is who I am. I'll never be anyone else. And it's really, sometimes really difficult. And I'm here to set you free from that. And I think Jesus is here to set you free from that. I'm just going to tell you what he said. Let's put it that way, right? Because I don't get to decide who you are either. Let's make that really clear. It's not up to me. It's up to God. And the main reason that God decides, well, two main reasons. One is that the Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That in Psalm 139, it said that God knit you together in your mother's womb. Now, for some of you, you're going like, well, man, God really blew it with me. And some of you might, not might, so lots of you guys I know think that way. Especially during your teenage years, it's really difficult to kind of figure out who you are. And some of the feelings that you feel are super strong. In fact, they take over your identity because they're so strong and powerful. And so you don't know how to deal with them. You don't know how to figure this out. And those feelings just invade you. And so it's really difficult. So or 2 weeks ago, in the first part of this talk, we told a story, or Jesus told a story of a woman from the city, and it was a prostitute. And we went through the story and how incredible it was how Jesus handled this situation, that this woman came into this religious guy's house, and this religious guy was not impressed that this woman came in, and Jesus was just amazing to this woman. He was incredible. He gave her a different label than everyone else at the table gave her. They all had labels for her. They were thinking thoughts about her. She's a sinner. She shouldn't be here. All those kinds of things. And Jesus didn't say that at all. In fact, he had such compassion on this woman that his new label for her was, you are forgiven and you're saved. A label which she probably didn't even think she could possibly possess because of her lifestyle and because of the sin in her life. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you, and sent her on her way. What an incredible story. Fabulous. If you missed it, you can hear the talk online on our website. You can also look in Luke chapter 7 to find where that story is. Super powerful. We also discussed the reason that Jesus saw her differently than everyone else is because God sees us differently. And we talked about King David, sorry, we talked about a prophet in the Old Testament named Samuel, and God had told him to go find the next king of Israel. And so he went to this guy's house, and this guy had a whole bunch of sons, and he saw the oldest son, and the oldest son was handsome, and he was royal looking. And Samuel was like, oh, that's got to be the guy. And God said, nope, humans, or men, look at the outside, but I look at the heart. So God sees us differently than everyone else sees us. He knows you better than you know yourself. This is what blows me away, that God knows me. He knows all the dark parts of my soul, but loves me more than anyone on this planet. That blows me away, because I know I don't deserve that love. I know that there's darkness and evil and all sorts of stuff in my heart. But God chooses to love me. It's incredible. We also talked about you're not defined by what you do. So if you're an athlete, that's for me growing up in high school. I was an athlete. I was viewed as an athlete. I had that label. I played all the school sports. And up to high school, I played hockey. I was just like sports was my whole life. That was my identity, and I really liked it. And God kind of yanked it away from me at one point. In fact, when I was in college, through injuries and some different things, and I realized that this can't be what my life is about. I can't identify myself like this. It's empty, and it leads nowhere. It's the video, temporary. We can't allow our identity to be in temporary things. And so today we're going to continue that talk, and the whole point of today is God's given you a new identity. When you become a Christian, when you decide to follow Jesus, God gives you a new identity. The Bible says that you become a new person. That's awesome. Because when I look back at my life and the person I was, I'm really glad that God didn't come to make me a better person, but that he came to make me a new person. Because the best version of the old Chris is still horrendous. And I'm so glad that that's part of what God does, that he actually makes a new person in us. This is incredible. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 15. It's on page 628. We're going to read a story. This is a very famous story. Probably the most famous story that Jesus told. And we're gonna think about labels again. We're gonna think about what's going on in the story. And here's what we did 2 weeks ago, and I want you guys to do again. Whenever we talk about the Bible, whenever we go through the Bible, let's put ourselves in the story. Okay? You guys with me? We're going to put ourselves in the story. We're going to be part of this story. We're going to get in it. We're going to try to feel what's going on. We're going to try to see from the perspective that Jesus is speaking from. Are you guys with me on this? Do you know how to do this? Because if you don't, that's okay. We'll hope that you do. You'll get into it. Okay, this is an incredible story. One of the best stories ever. It's one of my favorite stories. So it's Luke chapter 15, and it starts at verse 11. It says, "Parable of the lost son." And it's 628. So this is what it says. To illustrate the point further. So Jesus has actually just told two other stories that are linked to this story. And he's talking to some religious people. Now the religious people are in this story. But they don't come in till the end. And here's the spoiler alert. The religious people are the older brother in the story. All right. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." Okay, we got to stop here for a second, because in those days, that was a horrible thing to say. It's pretty horrible today. So if you went to your dad, "Okay, dad, I want what's coming to me now before you die. Just give it to me rather than waiting for you to die and get you my inheritance. I just want it now because basically, you're not my father anymore. I'm just going to do my own thing." For some of you, maybe that sounds pretty good, but it's not a good thing. And so basically what this younger son has done is just slapped his father in the face. He has done he has sinned pretty much as bad as you can sin against your father. The Bible says that we're to honor our father and mother. Very difficult thing to do, right? It's hard to do that. But this is pretty much the opposite as you can get to honoring your father. So his father agreed. What? This is crazy. The father agreed. Now, if this is my kid, I'd be like, get out. Like, you can go do your thing. I'm not giving you a dime. Well, maybe I would say that, but that inside, that's what I'd be thinking at the very least. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. This is why, while the dad is still living, this is pretty nuts. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. At about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Okay, we've got to stop here for a second. Now, let's put ourselves in this story. This is a young Jewish lad. Now, we know from the Old Testament that the Jews considered pigs to be unclean, and so they didn't go anywhere near pigs. They didn't eat pork. This was like there's no bacon tomato sandwiches at all. Like, this is like, no, just tomato. Yes. Thank you to Jesus, because Jesus changed that. Now we can have bacon sandwiches. Bacon. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, if you're not thankful for anything that God's ever done, at least be thankful that he allows us to eat pork now, okay? Because now we can have bacon. Sorry. Okay, so you got let's get into this young guy's head, okay? So this guy has taken everything that is his. He's like, this is mine, and he's blown it. He has blown it, and he's at the end of his rope, and now pigs are unclean, and now I have to go. Like, even us, I'm like, I don't want to work with pigs. Those things stink, and they're mean and nasty. And yeah, they're like bad animals. they don't like people. And they're nasty, right? And they stink terrible. You ever been to a pig farm? It's nuts. But anyway, so the guy hires him and sends him out to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry. Okay, so he's just shuddering because he's this Jewish boy and he's dealing with pigs. And now this is the lowest of low. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. So he is at the end of his rope. Can you feel his desperation? Like, he is done. He has made a huge mistake. And I'm thinking at this point he's starting to understand, that was a bad deal. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, sorry, that's not in there. At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here, I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. So he says he's come to his senses. So he's saying, he's realized the predicament that he's in is his own fault. I blew it. And my father who took such great care of me, and I was his son, I have burned that bridge. And at the very least, I know what kind of man he is. Maybe, just maybe, I can go back there and convince him to hire me on. Now, think of how hard this is, right? Lots of us all of us have a pride issue. Every single one of us has a pride issue. This would be really difficult to go back after. Just think of a fight you've had with your parents, okay? I can guarantee you it wasn't this bad, okay? Maybe it was close, but it wasn't this bad. This is as bad as it gets. Unless you've murdered your parent, maybe that's a little worse. But I'm pretty sure none of you guys have done that. If you have, we should talk after. We should probably get that right. Anyway, so he is basically, you guys heard the expression, he's eating humble pie. He's got to go back to the person that he totally sinned against, did something horrible, and now he's got to make it right, and this is going to be hard to do. And so he's rehearsing. I can see him going back to home, and he's rehearsing it over and over. Okay, this is what I'm going to say to my dad. Maybe he'll take me back. Maybe. So, he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Okay, I think this is a really cool verse, because what it says, this says something really significant about the father, and if you haven't figured it out yet, the father represents God in this story. Okay? We're the prodigal son. Okay, we have done this to God. In fact, every time we sin, every time we decide to go our own way instead of his way, we do this to God. We rebel against him. And what do you think God's going to do? What do you think his father is going to say? But he's been watching, and he sees his son coming from a long... That means he was out at the gate waiting. And who knows? This could have been months. It could have been years. How long has the father been waiting for his son? Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Unbelievable. Okay, this young man had done the worst thing imaginable to his dad. And this is the response. I can't even fathom it. I can't, if someone sinned against me that bad, I cannot fathom having love and compassion, running and embracing and kissing this person. His son said to him, so here's the speech. He's been practicing it all the way. Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. So I can see the son. Let's see the son right now. He's desperate. And I'm pretty sure he's not standing up eye to eye with his dad saying this kind of in a prideful manner. I think he's on the ground. He's on his, at the very least, on his knees, maybe even on his face, going like, I've just blown it. My life is a wreck. So what's the father going to do? What's his response? But, good word. His father said to the servants, quick! Okay, hold on. Something interesting just happened here. Let's define the labels that this prodigal son had just given to himself. Okay? I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner against both God and you. I'm not worthy of being called your son. I don't deserve anything. Okay? This guy is filled with shame. He's at the end of his rope. These are the labels that he has. Failure. Sinner. Dishonorable son. I've dishonored my family. I've dishonored my father. I don't deserve anything. I'm a horrible person. This is what's going on here. But what does his father say? Quick. His father doesn't even attempt to try to say, no, it's okay. It's okay. You're not so bad. He doesn't say any of that. He does not address any of the labels that the son had for himself. Really significant, you guys. God sees us differently than we see ourselves and other people see us. Okay? Important to understand. Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his fingers, a finger, and sandals for his feet. So he's coming barefoot. This is how desperate this guy is. He doesn't even have shoes. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Okay, guys, this is an incredible picture of who God is. That God is loving and compassionate, that we blow it on a regular basis. And this is God's response to us. You're my son. Are you kidding me? Embraces us, kisses us, and gives him the finest robe and starts a party, a celebration. Like, does this son deserve this? Are you with me? Does he deserve the party? Not at all, right? He just did the worst thing imaginable to his father. He does not deserve anything. Does he even deserve to be taken on as a hired hand? To actually live in comfort? No. But that's us. That's us. We're in the story. We do not deserve God's favor. This is really important for us to understand, especially for those of us who follow Jesus. We need to understand that we don't deserve God's love. We really don't. But God, who is rich in mercy and love, chooses to love us. Guys, this is powerful stuff. That God sees the worst of us and says, you're my son. Here's something, we'll continue the story in a second. Here's something that we can take from this story. I think there's a lie out there sometimes we fall into that we think that we have to clean ourselves up in order for God to take us, right? I felt that way lots, and I know lots of you guys feel that way too, that We can't come to God right now because we're just too out of it. We're too broken. We're too stuck in darkness that we can't come to God. We can't do it. It's a lie that God takes us at our worst moment. This is the son's worst moment in his entire life, in his entire existence. He will never face a lower, worse moment than this. And what is God's response to him? You're my son. Embrace, kiss, party. Get the band. In fact, let's get, who's your favorite band?
Black or White.
Maroon 5. Sorry, it's on my mind because of the song Sugar, right? Where Adam Levine goes to all these different weddings and surprises the bride and groom and as the wedding singer. Isn't that awesome? But it's like that. It's like, bring on Maroon 5, man. Let's get it. Let's get this band. Let's get this show on the road. All right. So the message for us is that at our worst moment, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is a demonstration of God's love, that at our worst moment, God loved us beyond our wildest imagination. We can't even dream of somebody loving us as much as God loves us at our worst moment. Not at our best. God's not waiting for you to get to your best moment so he can bring you in all nice and clean. No, he wants to clean you up. He wants to take you just where you are, and he wants to make you a new person. He wants to give you a new identity, son, daughter. That's your identity. When you follow Jesus, that's your new identity. That all of this other stuff doesn't define you. He didn't define his son by all the mistakes that he had made. None of them. He called him my son. Get the best robe. Let's get like the best suit in the house. Put it on him. Let's celebrate this young man. He's back. Meanwhile, so here, enter the religious people. So Jesus is telling this to a bunch of religious dudes. This is where they come in. Meanwhile, the older son, oh, we forgot about him, right? The older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Okay, let's transist. So we felt what it was like to be the younger brother. Now let's turn the tables. Let's say you're the older brother. Let's say one of your siblings has done this to your family. Because this wasn't just against the father. This was against the whole family. You are not my family. You guys suck. I'm leaving. Okay, so, you know, you might think, yeah, you know what? If I'm the older son and I see all this stuff, I'm not sure I'm into it. Let's see what this older son does. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. They're having T-bone steaks. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Okay, this is big. How many of us would feel like this? Okay, you know, be honest. Me. I would be like, are you kidding me? I have been working my tail off here. I have been honoring my father. I have been working for the family. I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. And look at this. This guy blew all of our money. He was just like, he's been living away from us, like sinning like crazy. This shouldn't be happening. All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. Hold on, I skipped a verse, really important verse. His father came out and begged him. This is really important. See, the call isn't just for those of us who have wandered away or are really identify with the younger son. The call is also for us who have grown up in the church and we think we're good people. And what Jesus is telling us here is that the call is for everyone. You're not a good person because you do a bunch of good things. That's not your identity. Your identity belongs to the Father and that you're in Christ. When you are a Christian, you are in Christ. That's where your identity comes from, not all the good works that you're trying to do or maybe not living up to or whatever's going on. Okay, so as the older son, I identify with him. I'm like, this sucks. This is not fair, right? It's not fair. You guys with me on that? It's not fair. He's been there the whole time, never had a party. But the father begs him, come into the party and join the celebration. Because you're both my sons, that's what he's communicating. You're both my sons. I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Now, we have to understand that in those days, the older son had two-thirds of the inheritance. Okay? Two-thirds of the old man's estate was his. So that means the younger son took a third. So this guy doesn't, like, seriously, think about this. We feel like this. But the inheritance that this guy is about to receive is massive. Way more than this younger brother had received. And he's accusing his father of not giving him anything. It's pretty crazy, right? But again, this is who we are. We're the younger son. We're the older son. We see somebody getting stuff we don't like. We get jealous. We get covetous. We envy them. Or they look like we want to look like. Or they have an appearance that we like. Or they get a job that we wanted. Or they get a mark that we thought we should get. Or they get a spot in the school, whatever it is, presidency kind of thing, and we thought we should get it. You know, this is us, right? This is us. We look at someone else and we go like, how come they get that? And I don't. Yet when this son of yours came back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrated by killing the fattened calf. You guys got to understand, God's love for us, it's scandalous. We don't deserve it at all. We're like that younger son too. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Guys, it's really important for us to understand that this is how God views us. That whether we're the younger son or the older son or both, which most of us are both, we have to admit that. I think most of us have at one point said, that's not fair, right? If you've said that, guess who you are? The older son, right? If you sinned against your parents and dishonored them in any way, well, then we're the younger son. So we're both, right? Well, I think we're all guilty. Every single one of us is guilty of both, being both. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with this, that there is no way that any of us can claim an identity, a true identity, that isn't from God. We can't. Because all that we can grasp onto is things that are temporary. They all pass away. That God is giving us, he's offering us, when you become a Christian, he's offering you a new identity. Guys, this is huge. This is really, really important. Because for every person who's in Christ, so for every person who decides to follow Jesus, your identity is son and daughter, forgiven and saved. That you were lost, but now your identity is found. It's really important for us, you guys. Now we got a video and we're going to go to small group. The video is, I think it's pretty powerful. It's kind of right down this alley of the story we've talked, more of it in modern day terms. So, Caitlin, go ahead. God's given you a new identity as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, the invitation is to come to Jesus. Ask him to be Lord of your life. Ask him into your life. Say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow what the teachings of Jesus. I want to give my life to something that's not temporary. Something that's not bound up in the world. That I want my life to belong to Jesus, and Jesus will give you this new identity. So if that's something that you'd like to do, here's what we're going to do. When we go to your small group, I want you to talk to your leader right off the start. Go like, okay, what Chris said, I want this. How do I do this? And your leader will lead you through an opportunity, a prayer that you just give your life to Jesus. I want my life to belong to him. I want to become one of his sons or daughters. Okay? Is that fair, leaders? Is that good? Yeah? That's awesome. We got thumbs up. Because that'll be the best group ever. Then you can have your celebration, right? You can have the party. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you guys. And here's the kind of the last thing. This this is truth. This is the truth. Okay? But it's not good enough just to know this story, to know that God is like this and to know that we're like this. We need to believe it. Because if you can know all you want, but if you don't believe it, it won't change your life. This is the truth, and the enemy is going to try to steal it. The enemy is the thief. He's going to try to steal what God has done in your life. He's going to try to block out that the voice of God calling you to him. He's going to say, no, no, it's the cost is too great. But it's actually the opposite. That's a lie. The cost is far greater if you don't give your life to Jesus. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I really sense that there's some students here that really needed to hear this story, that needed to understand who you are. So Lord, I just pray you'd help them to believe. Give them what they need to believe. Help us in our unbelief to believe, Lord. This is who you are. And see what happens to our lives. Is it just, it's revolutionary. It changes us. So Lord, I pray you'd give each student who's been thinking about this the courage to go like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to follow Jesus. For those of us who have been following Jesus and identified with the younger son, Lord, give us the courage to repent, to do what the younger son did, to fall on our knees, to ask for your forgiveness, and to be restored into right relationship with you. Because that's all it takes, is our repentance, that we would turn away from our sin and the way we've been going. For those of us who identify with the older son, Lord, the older son didn't repent in the story. But we know that it's possible for the older son to repent, because lots of us have been and are that older son. Help us to lay down our pride of being a good person and doing all the right things and going to religious activities and feeling good about ourselves. Help us to lay that at your feet and go like, no, it's not enough. I need Jesus. That Jesus is his works and his righteousness is the only thing that matters. So Lord, I think this prayer covers each single one of us here. And so we lift ourselves up to you and ask, Lord, that you would just do a work in every single life here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.